Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara left off discussing the issue of how do we know, or in what situations do we have a relative who is only a relative through the father, not through the mother, or a relative is both a relative through the mother and the father. So the Gemara had started out discussing the issue of Ervat Achot Avicha Lo Tegaleh, that your aunt, but this is a blood aunt, your father's sister, your mother's sister, are those only considered to be aunts if they are siblings through the father? Or is that even if they're siblings through the mother? The Braita concluded that it was both through the mother and the father. And that's based on the Pasuk in Parshat Kedushim, which says, Ravat avchoti mecha v'achot avicha lo tegaleh. So there, that extraneous Pasuk teaches us that not only if they're related through the father, but even if they're related through the mother, a sister to one's father or mother, they are considered to be problematic, that type of aunt. On the other hand, Dodato, who's an aunt through marriage, over there we said that Dodato is only through the father if there's a common sibling, meaning your father's brother has a brother through the father, then the woman married to that uncle of yours is problematic. That aunt, who's an aunt through marriage, is only problematic if the brothers are related through the father. The Gemara wanted to know, how do we know that? They got that from Parshat Behar, where it talks about redeeming an Eved Ivri, and over there it says that Dodo ben Dodo, mishpachto yigalenu, and the Gemara said, that's only talking about the mishpacha of the father, and therefore the Dodo, or the Dodato that we mentioned over here, also in Gzeira Shava, is only about relations through a father, not through a mother. Married aunts from your father's side, it has to be your uncle, because your uncle and your father share a common father, then that aunt through marriage is problematic. All right, now we left off yesterday with the last one, which is Achot Ishto, case of his wife's sister. And the Gemara concluded, Alma, this is the top line of Nun Hei Amud Aleph, Achot Ishto, Ben Min Av, Ben Min Aim, Asurot. That your wife's sister, whether they share a common father or they share a common mother, that sister is problematic. And the Gemara wants to know, Minolan, how do you know that that is the case? Yalif me'achoto. Let us learn out of a sister. Now, a sister is explicit in the Torah. By a sister, it says, Arvat achotcha vatavicha o vatimecha. So there it's clear that if she's your sister, either through a common mother or common father, she's called your sister. So let us learn out from sister to your wife's sister. Because ma'achuto ben mina'av ben mina'im, just like by a sister, it's irrelevant which parent is shared in common. Afghan, so to over here, maybe with your wife's sister, it should be irrelevant ben mina'av ben mina'im. It says, wait, why don't you leilif mi dodato? Why don't you learn out from an aunt through marriage? Ma dodato, as we proved in yesterday's daf, mina'av v'lo mina'im. That's only true when one's father and uncle share a common father. That makes them brothers. Then the aunt that is married to one's uncle is problematic because of dodato mina Torah. There it's only mina'av v'lo mina'im. Afkan, so to over here, mina'av v'lo mina'im. So to over here, by chot ishto, maybe it's only if they share a common father and not a common mother. Gemara says, mistabra mi'achoto avilei l'melef. Makes more sense that they learn out of achuto, shekain, krovei atzmo. Because these are relationships that are generated by him. Now, krovei atzmo, again, doesn't mean literally his krevot, because this is his wife's sister. This has nothing to do with blood relationship or direct blood relationship. But nevertheless, as Rashi points out here, achot isha krovei atzmo, chashiv lashem machmat atzmo nesralav. He generated the problem. By marrying this woman, that generates the problem of achot ishto. That's Karov Atzmo, just like his sister is a relative or a blood relative directly to him. It's not through any other party. It's not through his father or through his mother. It's simply his relationship to this woman, his sister, is problematic. So too, by Achot Ishto, even though, again, she's not a blood relative, but she's generated because he married this woman, the problem is from him, not from any other relative. So therefore, they are similar. If they're similar, we should learn one from the other. It says, Adraba, midodato avilei l'melef. We should learn out from an aunt through marriage, shekein davar al yidei kiddushin, midavar yidei kiddushin. Because an aunt through marriage the Iser is generated through marriage, because she married your uncle. And so too, by Achot Ishto, the reason that there's an Iser of Achot Ishto is because you married this woman. So marriage is the trigger for the problem. So maybe they should be more similar. Ela me'eshet ach yofinan. Let's learn it out from a brother's wife. The shekain davar yedei kiddushin. Number one, that restriction comes through marriage, because when your brother marries the woman, she becomes eshet ach. And number two is, it's krovei atzmo. The problem is because it's your brother, not through anybody else, not through a father, mother, child. It's your direct relationship with your brother that causes the problem. Since it has both, therefore we'll learn from eshet ach. The assumption being that by eshet ach, your brother, through a common mother or common father, is considered to be your brother, and that wife will be problematic. So eshet ach applies both through a common mother and a common father. The Gemara is going to ask right away, Eshet ach kufa minolei. How do you know that Eshet ach is both through the mother and the father? But assuming that that is true, the Gemara says, then we'll, through a hekesh to Achot Ishto, tell you, just like Eshet ach applies when an individual shares a common father or a common mother to create a brother, so too by Achot Ishto, one's wife's sister will be classified as a sister whether they only share a common father, the one's wife and this woman, or if they share a common mother, one's wife and this woman, they are still considered to be achot ishto. So now the Gemara says, eshet ach kufa minalei, Titania, we have a braita. Ervat eshet achicha lo tegale, ben minav, ben minaim. Again, whenever you have a braita, the braita is giving you the conclusion up front and telling you that this is ervat eshet achicha. This is a restriction against one's brother's wife. There, the Braita says, ben minav, ben minaim. That is the conclusion. It's going to be whether the relationship to that brother is through a common father or through a common mother. Then, the Braita proposes or mentions what the question could be. Ata omer, ben minav, ben minaim? Or en el minav, velo minaim? I mean, there are two possibilities here. It could be that either a parent, being a father or a mother, creates that relationship, or maybe it's only through a father and not through a mother. Vidinu chayav kan v'chayav be'achuto. So let's try different limudim that are going to bring us to the conclusion. It says you're chayav by eshet ach, by one's brother's wife. It also says one is chayav be'achuto, by sister. Ma'achuto ben mina'av ben mina'im. Just like by a sister, it's irrelevant how that sister comes about, whether you share or the one shares a common mother or a common father, that's your sister. That we know from the Torah. That we know for certain. Afkan ben minav ben minaim. Oh, klech l'darech zu. Let's look at it the other way. Chayav kan v'chayav bedorato. You're chayav b'eshet ach. You're also chayav by a aunt through marriage. Ma dorato minav v'lo minaim. Over there, we know that it only matters where one's uncle, the father's brother, share the father and the uncle share a common father. Is that considered to be a relationship where the married aunt will cause a problem? But if one's father and uncle only share a common mother, then the aunt that marries that uncle, that brother or that uncle, is not classified as an Iser min HaTorah, Iser Reyot min HaTorah, it'll be Iser midin shniot l'arayot, but it's not Iser midoraita afkan. So to over here, Eshet ach, let's say the same thing. Minav velo minaim. So again, the Braita says, nireh l'midumeh, who's it more similar to? Denin krovei atzmo mi krovei atzmo. Let's deal again. Krovei atzmo, achoto is krovei atzmo. And so is eshet ach. Eshet ach is also krovei atzmo. The problem is generated from his relationship. His sister or his brother. So the relationship or the problem, familiar relationship, is because of his closeness to this individual. And don't prove it from a married aunt, because that all comes through your father's, one's father's relationships, not through your relationships. Oh, klach l'derechzu. Danim davar sheyedei kiddushin, and davar sheyedei kiddushin. Over here, the case of eshet ach is generated through the brother marrying a woman. Kiddushin is the trigger for the problem. So too by dodoto, the married aunt, the trigger is kiddushin. Sister is a familial problem. It's not a problem that is generated through marriage. So we don't know which way to go. Talmud Lomar. So now they bring in a pasuk to solve the problem. Ervat achicha hi. So here that extraneous statement of ervat achicha hi teaches us not only from the av, but even from the aim. So the pasuk in Echrei Mot says, ervat eshet achicha lo tegale. The Gemara reads that as referring to a brother who is common, as shares a common father. Ervat achicha hi, that's talking about a brother that shares a common mother. So now we have both of them. Ben min ab, ben min aim, a brother through either shared parent, whether it's a shared mother or a shared father. In either of those circumstances, eshet ach will be problematic. So that's Gemara's solution, is that that extraneous piece of ervat achicha hi teaches us she's min aim, but not just min av. So now, ben min av, ben min aim, ve'ema, idi be'eshet ach min av. Let us say both parts of the pasuk are speaking about a brother through a common father. Chada de'esh labanim b'chayei bala, v'chada de'en labanim b'chayei bala. So maybe the difference will be whether she has children or doesn't have children in her husband's lifetime. En labanim b'chayei bala, midar av huna nafka. Wait a minute, when she doesn't have children while her husband is still alive, that we learned out from Rav Huna yesterday. That was the series of Hava Minot that we looked at yesterday that seemed strange, which is that by Yivama, because the Yivama is Muteret after the death of one's brother, we thought that maybe even during the lifetime of the brother, she should also be Muteret. As she says, it's a case where Girsha, he divorces her, so there's no problem with Veshadish. Tosafot gives a logical argument saying that why would the Torah only make it mutar after death? Why can't it be okay before death? Because otherwise, what's the Torah teaching you? That asay dochelot asay? That we don't need the Torah to teach us. We know that from other places. But rather, it seems that the logical argument is that this woman is always mutaret. Just happens to be that there's a ma'akev when the brother is in the picture. So either the brother dies or is divorced, then that opens up this woman to marriage even during the lifetime of the individual. Rav Huna says, no, because the pasuk says by eshet achiv, it has this additional term nidahi, which is isha sheikach eshet achiv nidahi ervat achiv gila rimiyu. Nidahi seems completely extraneous because why eshet achiv? One's brother's wife is only a surah when she's a nidah. When she's not a nidah, she's muteret. The two have nothing to do with each other. Ella, what did it teach you? Just like a nidah has heter after time. But while she's a nidah, she's a surah bikareit. So too, eshet achiv has a heter after the death of one's brother, if there are no children. But prior to that time, there is an isur karet. So that we already learned out from Rav Huna. So that can't be the possibility of why we hear we have eshet ach mentioned twice. So that the Gemara leaves aside and says, let's think about another possibility. Ein labanim b'chayei bala mid Rav Huna nafka. So in Labanim, during the lifetime of the husband, we know that that's not allowed because of Nidahi that we learned from the Limud yesterday of Rav Huna. Ve'ema idi be'eshet ach min av. Let us say both of them are talking about eshet ach from a common father. Chadad yesh labanim b'chayei bala, v'chadad yesh labanim l'achar mitad bala. One's a case where she has children while her husband is still alive. In that case, she'll be asura. And also for a case where she has children after the death of her husband. Wait, she has children. Yesh labanim achar mitad bala. Wait a minute. If she has children after her husband dies, then why do you need any pasuk? The yibum shouldn't apply. What's the heter to marry this woman if she has children? Lo tzrich akra midamar rachmana, when the Torah says in Parshat Yibum she'en labanim muteret, that only when she doesn't have children. That's why la'akim et shem achiv, that's the whole purpose of yibum. Then ha, you would infer from that yesh labanim asura. If she has children, certainly she is restricted. The Torah tells you, you perform Yibum when she doesn't have children. That means when she does have children, you don't perform Yibum. It's an obvious thing. It says, V'doma, in labanim asura li'alma v'shari li'avam. Maybe it is that if she doesn't have children, nobody else is allowed to marry her except for the Yavam. Yesh labanim, she has children, shari li'alma v'shari li'avam. That it's, she's muteret not only to the Yavam now, but even to everybody else. Now, of course, she's muteret to everybody else, but she'll also be muteret to the Yavam. So maybe that's the way to learn the inference. The inference is not that the Yavam is excluded. It just means that everybody else is included. So, inami, ein la banim mitzvah. She doesn't have children, then it's a mitzvah to perform Yibum. Yesh la banim reshut. But if she has children, then it's an optional. You don't have to perform Yibum. You can if you so choose. Inami, ein la banim in, yesh la banim lo. Maybe your inference is correct, that when she doesn't have children, Yibum is performed. When she does have children, Yibum is not performed, but lava ba mechlala se asay. You're not, this is not a restriction, it's a restriction that's derived from a positive statement. Yivama yavala. she must perform Yibum in this scenario. That means that in another scenario, she doesn't perform Yibum, but that is an inference, a lav, a negative precept that derives from a positive statement. That means it's an assay, which would mean that a woman who has children after the death of her husband, meaning in a case where they're brothers, if one then marries that woman, then it would only be a violation of an assay, not a violation of a karet, of eshedach. So katav krachrina, that's why the pasuk tells us, ervat achiv gila. That's what we have another pasuk for, which is ervat achiv gila. So we have a third pasuk here that helps us out in this situation. So now, once we have that, we have three different psukim that deal with Esherach. Three psukim that deal with Esherach, each of them teaching us something different. So we have our pasuk over here, which is the one that we're being Doresh, which is Ervat Esherachicha lo tegaleh. That speaks about one's brother through a common father. That wife is Esherach and is Chayav Karet. Ervat Achicha hi'i, that teaches you that if one has a brother through a common mother, that wife is also restricted. Now, the other two limudim, the one of Rav Huna and the one that we have here, comes from the pasuk in Parshat Kedushim, which says that ish asher yikach et eshet achiv nidahi. So nidahi teaches you that during chayei bala, while the brother is still alive, that woman is restricted even if she doesn't have children. And number two is ervat achiv gila, teaches you that after death, if she does have children, there's a chiyuv karet associated with her. So now we covered all the different bases. We have these four limudim that come out of these two psukim that teach us all the different permutations of Eshet Achiv. There's Eshet Achiv with children while he's alive. That's what we seem to think the Torah is speaking about. And there it's whether that relationship of brother comes through a common mother or a common father. There's a restriction. Then we add it on, even after death of the brother, there's still a restriction if she has children. And even during the life of her husband, if she doesn't have children, there's a restriction as well. So all of those are restricted under the chiyuv karet of Eshedach. The only dispensation, of course, is a case where the brother passes away and they have no children. That's the case of Yibum. But everything else is restricted around it with a chiyuv karet from these four different limudim. But in the end, we do conclude that Eshedachiv applies both through the shared common mother and common father. So now, ve'ema Eshedach min ha'em k'eshedach min ha'av. All right, now that you brought this pasuk that says, ervat, eshet achicha lo tegaleh, ervat achicha hi, so now we just have a hekesh, basically a juxtaposition of the pasuk between eshet achiv, where one's brother shares a common father, and then a brother where one's brother shares a common mother with that individual, who said both of those are considered to be eshet ach. Well, if they're both considered to be eshet ach, let's also say that both of them are available for yibum. That both in a brother through a shared father and a brother through a shared mother, they pass away without children, they should be open to Yibum. Ma Eshedach min Av, lachar mitat bala sharia. Av Eshedach min Aim, lachar mitat bala sharia. She should also be in the parsha of Yibum. Amakra, he, behavyata tehe. He is the last line there in this extraneous piece in the pasuk, which is, ervat Eshedachicha lo tegaleh. That's talking about a brother who is a brother through a common father. Then ervat achicha, which we just said, teaches us about a brother through a common mother. That pasuk ends with he. He means that status remains permanent. So then the brother's wife remains a brother's wife in a chiyuv karet, even after the death of the brother, because they only shared a common mother. They didn't share a common father. And we say that Yibum only applies where the brothers share a common father, not where they share a common mother. The truth is, and Tosafot points this out, that we already learned this earlier in the Masechta from the Achva Achva, Gzei Reshava of Achva Achva. Why do you need this over here? So Tosafot suggests that Babiyate tells you that a brother through a shared common mother is not enough, but you would have a Havamina that you need both parents. You need to have a brother who has both a father and a mother shared in order for Yibum to apply. Achva Achva, that limud from the Bnei Yaakov teaches you that's not the case. Even if they just share a common father, that's enough to be in the world of Yibum. You don't need both parents to be shared in order to be in the world of Yibum. That's, again, that was a discussion earlier in the Masechta, and that's why Tosafot says we need two limudim over here. All right, now, the Gemara continues and says, Achoto dichtiv ba karet lamali. The fact that Achoto has karet written by it, why is that the case? Why is that necessary? The way that Rashi reads this is that the limud of Rabbi Yonah yesterday was, there is a hukshu kol arayot. All the arayot are under this umbrella of chiyuv karet. Then all of a sudden you go to Parshat Kiddushim where it talks about the punishments. So anybody who has a punishment that is different than karet, you can understand why the Torah spells it out, because otherwise you wouldn't know that. So there are many of them here that have Dmei Hembam, which is an Isur Skila. So those are specified, that's fine. Or if they have an Isur Srefa, that's specified because that's different than karet, or in addition to karet, because those are capital crimes that we punished in Beit Din. But why would the Torah repeat something that is a karet? We already know that it's chiyuv karet, and you look in the Parshat Kedoshim, it says about achoto, v'ish asher yikach et achoto, bat aviv uvat imo, any sister, that's again, whether it comes through a common father or mother, v'ra et ervata, v'hi tire et ervato, chesed hu, v'nichritu l'nei b'nei amam, ervat achoto gila, abono yisa. Here you have a chiyuv karet that seems completely unnecessary, because you already have karet mentioned by all the arayot. So that's one way to learn it. That's where Rashi says, davar she'a v'chlal, v'yatza min ha'klal l'lamed. So when you have something that was part of a klal, and then it leaves the klal, lo l'lamed al atzmo yatza, el l'lamed al klal kulo yatza. Doesn't leave the klal to teach you just about itself. So the Gemara says here, machloket, d'ked Rabbi Yochanan. That's like Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Rabbi Yochanan. Shimesan kulam. V'helem echat, chayav al kol achat v'achat. This should be familiar to you from Shabbat. By Shabbat, the 39 melachot all come from a single isur. Lo taseh kol melacha. So you have a lo taseh. How do you know that if you do all 39 melachot, that you're chayav on each one of the 39 melachot? That comes out from the fact that Sreifa was singled out. Lo tvaruesh b'chol moshvetechem b'chol yom haShabbat. So over there, it's machoket what it's for. L'lav yatzad or l'chalek yatzad. But at least, according to the day that's l'chalek yatzad, it was specified to tell you that each one individually is chayav, separately. You don't have to do all of them to be chayav. And you also, if you do all 39 of them, behalem echad, and one shogeg, you'll be chayav 39 different chatot. So the same thing over here. Why was achoto singled out for karet? To teach you that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you do all the arayot in this parsha in one helem, you're chayav on each one of them separately a chatat. Or, the other way around, if you do one of them, you're still chayav. You don't have to do all of them to be chayav. This is specified as an individual isur, to tell you that each individual isur stands alone, and it's not just one big grouping, and therefore you have to do either all of them to be chayav, or you only chayav one if you do all of them. Ula Rabbi Yitzchak, tamar kol chayavei kretot bichlalayu, v'lama yatzta karet b'achuto. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, who has this limud of kol chayavei kretot bichlalayu, and then why was it specified, why was it singled out by achuto? Adunu b'karet v'lo b'malkot. To teach you that achoto only gets karet and no malkot. Because in general, you have here what's called a lav anitan nazrat mitat beitin. Usually when we use that term, it means you have a lav, a lotas that tells you don't do this. If you do it, this is the punishment. So in that case, that lav doesn't get malkot, because the purpose of the lav is not to teach you don't do this, and the standard punishment of malkot will apply. It's don't do this, because if you do this, the punishment will be a mitat beitin. It'll be a capital punishment. So in the cases of capital punishment, we say that the purpose of the lav is an azhara. It's a warning. Don't do this because otherwise you'll get the capital punishment. Over here, Rabbi Yitzchak applies that to karet as well. And says that maybe by karet you would say the same thing, which is that the lota say here is telling you don't do this because if you do this, you will get karet. So therefore there are no malkot, b'achoto l'dunuba karet v'lo b'malkot, to teach you by achoto. Why does it specify karet over there? There is the case where we say karet applies and no malkot. Therefore, if you give a warning that they'll get malkot, it won't apply over here. Otherwise, case of karet, then maybe you would say you should get malkot and karet, depending on what you warn them, because karet is not a punishment by capital punishment in a Beit Din. It's a punishment min hashamayim. That's the way we paskin, actually, that you get malkot. If someone does something wrong, that's a chiyuv karet, you get malkot. You don't get malkot, then there's a chiyuv karet. But otherwise, one gets malkot for those restrictions over here. Rabbi Yitzchak says, that's the point of achoto, to teach you that's not the case. By karet, karet is lav anitan, mitat karet. Lav anitan, the karet is there not to be a lav to get malkot. It's there to be a lav in order to be an azara, a warning. Don't do this, because otherwise you'll get karet. So the chalek minalan, how does he know that we differentiate in all the rayot? Nafkale, he learns it out, el isha binidat tumata. Because by Nida it says, in Parshat Achrimot, V'elisha b'ninat tumata lo tigrav legalot ervata. So the word isha is unnecessary. You could just write, V'el Nida bitumata lo tikrav. Why does it say isha? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, l'chayev al kol isha v'isha. To teach you that on each woman you are chayav. That each woman is distinct, and each isur is distinct. And that's how he learns out l'chalek. The same thing that Rabbi Yochanan learns out of achuto, he learns out of el isha v'didat tumata. The word isha teaches you that each one is a separate isur. The Gemara here moves over to the chiyuv karet. And this is an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim, because there are many opinions in the Rishonim. Torah mentions in many places a chiyuv karet. There are certain mitzvot, aveirot, that have karet associated with them. What is the punishment of karet? So everybody agrees that the punishment of karet is that one's life is shortened because of karet. Karet means to be cut off, that the life is shortened. What else is manifest in karet is a big question, because in certain places, we have other terminologies that are used. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Rashi, Ala Torah, and Rashi on Shas, always says the same thing. They're all one big deal. They're all one package. That whatever punishment is mentioned here, they're all part of karet. Karet is not only shortening one's life, but it's all these other things. What are these other things? These are things that are mentioned in the psukim over here, which is, Dodato, Dikhtiv Barachmana, Arivim, Iyu, Lamali. Why is Aririm Iyu mentioned by Dodato? Again, Dodato is an aunt through marriage. And in Parshat Kiddushim, when it discusses this issue, it mentions by an aunt, Ish Hashay Ishkavet Dodato, Irvat Dodo Gila. So that was the Dodo that we learned out from there, that it's only by the Av, not by the Aim. Then Chet Ami Sao, Aririm Yamutu. That Aririm Yamutu, what does that Aririm Yamutu mean? Aririm means childless. They shall die childless. The truth is that by the Pasuk of Dodato, it doesn't say Aririm Yu, it says Aririm Yamutu. So there are two Pasukim in a row in Parshat Kedoshim, Pasuk Chaf, which is Ish Hashay Ishkav Dodato Ervato Dogila Chet Amisau Aririm Yamutu. So again, we use Dodo Gila before to teach you Mina Av Velo Mina Aim. Then Aririm Yamutu. Why is that Arim Yamutu coming to teach us? Then the subsequent pasuk says, "Ve'ish asher yikachet eshet achiv nidahi ervat achiv gila." We just use those drashot nidahi to teach you that even during the lifetime of the Baal, if she has no children, she's a surah. Ervat achiv gila. We taught you even after death, if she has children, she's restricted. Arim iyu. So again, what are these extraneous words here of Arim Yamutu, Arim iyu? Are these part of the punishment of karet? Or are these a different punishment? So now Rashi assumes that this is part of the punishment of karet. Arim yu, arim yamutu is part of the karet. Karet means one's life is shortened. Also, it means that one is going to die without children, or the children will die also. So then the Gemara wants to understand here, what are these psukim doing here? So it says, Dodato, dikhtiv rachmanim, arim yu, lamalei, it really means arim yamutu, lamalei, dikhtirabo. The Rabba Ramiktiv, he has a stira. Aririm Yu Uchtiv Aririm Yamutu. Again, the two psukim in a row that we just read. One says Aririm Yamutu, one says Aririm Yu. Haketzad. Which one is it? Yesh lo banim kuvran. If he already had children, he will bury them. They will die. Ein lo banim holech ariri. If he doesn't have children, then he will remain childless, or even if he has children post the sin, they will die. I mean that he will die without children. We need both of these sukim. Gita katav rachmanam arim yu. Had the Torah just written arim yu, havamina, I would have thought ad chatei, until his sin. Aval mechatei ve'elech lo. But from his sin and onward, we would not say that. So arim yu means that those children that were already born will be subject to this arim. Arim yu implies that they're already there, the children. And now, the status will change. So the children that already exist will no longer exist. He will become childless from those children. But children born after that point in time, they may not be covered by this, because Arim Yu is just a predictive statement about the status quo today. Whatever is today is true will not be true in the future. So now you have these children, those children will not be there in the future. But children born afterwards, maybe they will not be covered by this. So Kadav Rachmanam Arim Yamutu. The Torah Kazet says, no, that this individual will die without children. Die without children means that even children born post that time, they will also not live. If it just wrote Arim Yamutu, it would only be children born after the sin. Those that are born after the sin, when this person dies, they will not exist. But the children born prior to the sin, they'll be grandfathered in, and they won't be subject to Aruim. Aval Mi'ikar Alo. So, but those that were born earlier, no, Tzricha. Therefore, you have two psukim. One telling you Aruim Yiyu, one telling you Aruim Yamutu, that both children prior to the sin, and children born after the sin, both of those will be subject to this Chiyuv Ariri. And because of that, they will be subject to the Chiyuv Karet, as Rashi reads it. The way that Rashi reads this is that Arim Yiyu and Arim Yamutu are part of the Chiyuv Karet. That means if one is subject to Karet, there are a number of punishments that will happen. And that is, Rashi says this, again, on Ala Torah, and Rashi says it in other places as well, which is, Karet means one's life is shortened, number one. Number two is that their children will die. That means children that were born before, children that were born afterwards, they will die. Without these children, their children's lives would also be cut off. Rashi sees this as all one big punishment, and therefore anytime the Torah says karet, karet means one's life shortened, plus the children die. It's not unique to this case. This is just a myre makom to tell us, yes, that this is what karet is about. Arim yiyu, arim yamutu. That's the way Rashi learns. The punishment of children is only true while they are ktanim. Once they become gdolim, they're on their own, and therefore they're going to have to deal with their own averot. If this punishment of Arim Yiyu or Arim Yamutu is only with children who are underage, where the parent is responsible for them and they're subject to the parent's sins that impact the child in these situations. So it's only about Banim Tanim, not about Banim Gdolim. Tosafot in the Masechet Shabbat says explicitly that Arim Yiyu and Arim Yamutu are totally separate. Aval Zaro Omer Riva, Dein Bikaret El Bahanu Dichtib Bahu Ariri. He says it's limited to those that it says Ariri about. They're a punishment of children. Punishment of children is only in these two circumstances, not in a circumstance where it's not mentioned. So therefore, Tosfot, unlike Rashi, says Karet and Ariri are two different punishments. And where it mentions Ariri, that's a punishment of Ariri. Where it mentions Karet, that's a punishment of Karet. The two have nothing to do with each other. The Rambam, in the Parasha Mishnayot, as well as in Hilchot Tshuva, says that, what is Karet? So he says, V'anikama hagmurahi, Shetikareta nefesh v'tovad shelo yeh lakiyum v'akareta murbatura. That means that the nefesh, neshama, who the ultimate goal of the neshama is to connect with its creator, with Hashem, be nafsho tzura b'tzura chayim, so that you be connected. When you're bundled together with the neshama, with Hashem himself, then the neshama has everlasting life. That's the chayi olam haba. Karet means that that neshama is detached from that and doesn't have that ability. Therefore, the neshama will be lost. That's why the havadati, the word ibadon, is also used by karet, because this neshama or nefesh is going to be lost. It's going to be cut off from the everlasting, the unlimited, which is Hashem, the one that is not bound by time or by life. If one connects with that, tzura chayim, that everlasting life, then that neshama exists forever, and that's the goal. But if it's karet, they're lost, because they're not connected to it. That's the way the Rambam describes it. He also, in Hilchot Tshuva, says the same thing, chol mi sheino zocheh lechayim. Dies like an animal, which is that animals don't have neshamot that attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once they die, they're dead. Zehu karet haktuva b'Torah. That's karet in the Torah. Shnemar yikaret tikaret and nefesh hi. Mipi ha-shmua lamdu akari karet v'lam hazeh tikaret l'lam haba. Karet applies in this world and next world. Klomar. Shoto nefesh pirsha min haguf v'lam hazeh eino zocheh l'chay olam haba. Ela gam min olam haba nichrat. Not only when you die here does the life here end, but that ends the life for one from the next world when this happens. That's how the Rambam describes it. The Ramban takes issue. Ramban al Torah takes issue with the Rambam's explanation. He says, this is way too severe a punishment. Karet shows up in many different places, including eating chalev. You eat the fats of an animal that you're not supposed to eat. There's a chiyuv karet. He says, for that, you lose all of your olam haba, you get cut off. Versus, there are other sins where there's avat nefesh, which is like avodah zarah. And Birkat Hashem, which are really serious crimes over there, it makes sense. So how can you say that there's just one din of karet, which is anytime there's karet, and all these different isurim, which have severity running from lighter to very extreme, and they all are just, you don't get olam haba? So the Ramban says that's not the case, and therefore the Ramban creates dargot, different categories of karet. There's certain karet where the karet affects only the individual's physical life, meaning that their lifespan is shortened. There's a karet for a more extreme case where the nefesh is cut off. And there's also more extreme forms of aririm. So there are different gradations of karet. And so what the Ramban explains is that karet manifests itself in different cases, but they are connected to the severity of the crime. So you have a karet, that means just shortening one's life. That's when the crime is not so severe. There are certain karet that involves also loss of children. That's for a little more severe crime. There's also a crime that involves karet that is avadat nefesh, where the nefesh is lost, like the Rambam describes. That's only for the most severe or the most stringent of cases. That's where karet applies. So he creates gradations and says karet is different in all those cases. The language that the Torah uses in these different cases, like by the case in Parshat Shlach, where it discusses karet, there it discusses avadat nefesh. So that's the avadat nefesh. And he also describes it by hikaret hikaret, which may be more severe than simple avinichretu, cut off, and then arim yu, arim yamutu. He looks at each of these lishonot as being different gradations of punishment. Now, the Gemara here seems to lean in favor of Rashi. Because the Gemara says, why do you need arim yu? Why do you need arim yamutu? As if karet already covered that. And then the Gemara explains why. There are others that say, no, it's just the opposite. Here the Gemara is saying that arim yu, arim yamutu, it seems to be a separate punishment that they're trying to even figure out within that. What is this punishment arim yu? Again, this is a major machloket rishonim as to how arim connects to karet in terms of what is the punishment of karet. I'll send you out to Mekorot so you can take a look at it to yourself. All right, so now the Gemara goes back to something we discussed in yesterday's daf, which is ha'ara'ah min haTorah minole. How do we know that hara'ah is just as much restricted as bi'ah gemura? So the Gemara learned that out of Nida yesterday, because the pasuk by Nida says et mikorah ha'era. From there we learned out ha'ara'ah min haTorah. Ha'ara'ah min haTorah means that it's not a complete bi'ah, not a full penetration by the man of the woman. How much, we're going to discuss at the end of today's daf. But that we learned out from the word he'era that appears by nida. Then we extrapolated that to the shar arayot. That was the limud of Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says that because all the arayot hukshu echad l'sheni, therefore by all the other arayot it applies as well. We had a question by Mishkevei Zachur. That we learned out because it says Mishkevei Isha over there. And by Behema, we learned that out of the extra word he'era that is mentioned by Achot imcha v'achot avicha lo tegaleh ki etchero he'era. We said, imenu inyan le an ant, then teneu le inyan behema. So that's how we know by behema, he'era is also problematic. Okay, that is what we've learned so far. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know this problem of ha'ara'a applies also to other types of restrictions? Restrictions that involve bi'ah, for instance, v'chayve lavin. How do we know that by a simple chiyuv lav, lo yavo mamzer v'kal Hashem? How do you know that the restriction of mamzer applies not just to bi'ah gmura, but even to ha'ara? So that, the Gemara says, mi digali rachmana, because the pasuk by shifcha harufa says, shifcha zera gabi shifcha harufa. By shifcha harufa, which is a shifcha necharefet le'ish, we'll learn it like Rashi explains it on the Torah, which means that it's a shifcha knanit, who is engaged as erusin with an eved ivri. An eved ivri is allowed to marry an shifcha knanit, the children belong to his master, but he is allowed to marry her, and he has erusin with her. So that marriage is not a full-fledged marriage where if there's an extramarital affair, there'll be a chiyuv of mitah, a capital punishment. But there the Torah in Parshat Kedoshim lays out the punishment. But in describing the problem of shifcha harufa, there it says that ish ki ishkavet isha shichvat zera vehi shifcha necharefet leish. So shichvat zera is a description of a full bi'ah. So the fact that the Torah requires a full bi'ah by shifcha harufa implies that in other cases that you don't need a full bi'ah. Because here it specifies you need a full bi'ah, meaning in other places you do not need a full bi'ah, michlal. There you would infer the chayve lavin b'hara, that would suffice to have hara. Mar says, adraba, migdali rachmana hara'a b'chayve kretot. By chayve kretot it says that hara is a problem, like by nida, we learned that out of nida. B'chal de chayve lavin migmar bi'ah, depends where you infer it from. If you infer it from shifcha harufa, which is saying that you need full bi'ah, then you would say chayvei lavin don't need a full bi'ah. But if you look at chayvei kretot that say their ha'ara'ah works, then you would think that by lavin that doesn't work because it specifies it by chayvei kretot. So Amar Rav Ashi, mikein l'shtokra mishivcha harufa. If you're correct that ha'ara'ah only applies by chayvei kretot, then why does the Torah have to specify by shivcha harufa that it's a bi'ah gemura? If that's the case, you wouldn't need to specify. That'd be automatic that you need a bi'ah gemura. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to specify bi'ah gemura by shifcha harufa clearly indicates to you that that's the only place you require it. You do not require it by chiyuvei lavin. And that's how we know that by any of the other chiyuv lav, like lo yavo mamzer, kal Hashem, lo yavo amoni umavi, lo yavo lehem, kal Hashem, those yisurei lav also hara'ah will be problematic. Then hara'ah dechayve lavin dekuhuna minalan. We have restrictions by a kohen. For instance, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha or a chalutza or a zona. In those cases, how do we know there that hara'ah is also problematic? Acha kicha kicha. We have gzeira shava of kicha kicha. By the lavei kuhuna, it's spelled out isha zona lechalala lo ikachu, isha grusha misha lo ikachu, and by achuto, because it says ish asher ikach et achuto bat aviv vatimo ikach. So the word ikach, that is gzer shava kicha kicha. So the fact that you have kicha by one of the arayot and you have kicha by those things that are associated with the lavei kuhuna, that gzer shava of kicha kicha teaches you that the din of ha'ara'ah applies also in that case. How do we know that even things that are restricted only through a positive commandment also have a restriction when there is ha'ara'ah? So for instance, things like, you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri or an Adomi. You're not allowed to marry them, and the way the Torah phrases it is, banim asher yivaldu lehem dor shlishi yavo lehem bikal Hashem. The third generation of a convert that's a Mitzri or an Adomite can come into the cow, implying that before that time, they can't come in. But that comes from a positive statement. Positive statement is the third generation that may come in. Inferred from that is that second and first generation may not come in. That's a lava baal michlal assay. That's an assay. How do we know that that assay also ha'ara'ah is problematic? That we learn that as bia bia. There is a gzeirah shava bia bia. Over here by the Edomi and the Mitzri, it says, bani mashi yavo lahem dor shishi yavo lahem. And by mamzer, which is a chiyuv lav, it says lo yavo mamzer or lo yavo amoni umavi. So bia bia, that gzeirah shava says just like by a chiyuv lav, ha'ara'ah is problematic. So too by a chiyuv asay, ha'ara'ah is problematic. Yivama the shuk minolan. How do we know that a yivama who is waiting, she's a shomeret yivam, and now she's waiting to get married to that brother, and instead she has a relationship with a third party? How do we know there that ha'ara'ah with a third party is problematic? Where it says, either mandamar lav, lav, either mandamar asay, asay. Depends on what you think the problem is about yivamat the shuk. A girsa that we have here is like Rashi's understanding of Rav and Shmuel's machloket later on, that one thinks it's a lav, one thinks it's an asay. Tosfot thinks they both think it's a lav, and therefore he drops the girsa of asay over here. But either way, it doesn't really matter, because by yivamat the shuk, the way that you learn it, it says, lo tia ish ramet achutza. If you learn that as being a lav, then that's a lav. Or if you say yivama yivola and not someone else, which is an iser asay, either way, it's either a lav or an asay. We already discussed that lavin and asay have the problem of hara'ah. We already established that fact. So that's not the problem here. Ella, yivama the yavam minolan. How do we know that you can consummate yibum through ha'ara'ah? How do we know that that suffices to consummate yibum? Acha bia bia. There we have yivama yavo aleha. From there we learn out bia bia michayve lavin. Lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem. Yavo over there, we already learned that ha'ara'a applies because that's a limud from a diuk out of shifcha rufa. Since you have that diuk out of shifcha rufa, lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem is an isur even bahara'a. And then through this gezer shava, bia bia, yavama yavola and yavo mamzer, we'll also know that yibum can be consummated through hara'a. How about isha lebala minayin? How do we know a wife and a husband that you can have kiddushin through bi'ya? Kiddushin through bi'ya. How do we know that it suffices ha'ara'ah and you don't need a full bi'ya? So it says, atya kicha, kicha, zer shava of kicha, kicha. By marriage, it says, kikach ish et isha u ba'ala. So there you say, kikach. So how do you take her? We learn out kicha from achuto. By achuto also, it says kicha. And then we already established by arayot that the kicha of arayot includes hara'ah. So therefore, the hara'ah of achuto will be brought over to the kiddushin. And kiddushin can be made through kiddushei bi'ah, through ha'ara'ah. You don't need a gemar bi'ah. Right? So that's how we learn out hara'ah to all the different types of arayot. That is, whether it's a chiyuv karet, whether it's a chiyuv lav, whether it's a lav of kuna, whether it's an assay, and whether it is for the consummation of yibum or for kiddushin. In all these cases, ha'ara'ah suffices. You don't need gemar bia. Now the gemara goes back and wants to discuss. Amar Rava, lama li dichtav rachmana shichvat zera b'shivcha harufa? Why does it mention shichvat zera b'shivcha harufa, which we already discussed why it does? Shichvat zera mentioned there by shivcha harufa tells us that you need gemar bia. But also in two other places, shichvat zera mentioned. Sheikh Bat Zera is mentioned by Eshet Ish, and Sheikh Bat Zera is mentioned by a Sota. So by a Sota, it says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amartalem ish ish ki tiste ishto malo v'amal, v'shachav ish ota Sheikh Bat Zera. So there it seems to imply you need Gemar Bia in order to be problematic. Why do I need that to be mentioned over there, that it's Sheikh Bat Zera? That's number one. Number two is, why do I need Sheikh Bat Zera mentioned by Eshet Ish? Because by Eshet Ish it says, in Parashat Achrimot it says, Vel Eshet Amitcha lo titen shchov techa lezara letam haba. So why do we need Sheikh Bat Zera mentioned, the Gemar Bia seemingly mentioned in all these three locations? So the Shifcha Harufa kidamran. Shifcha Harufa is already like what we said. I mean, that Shifcha Harufa teaches us that only by Shifcha Harufa do you require Gemar Bia. But the other Chiyuvei Lavin, you don't require Gemar Bia, Ha-Ra'a would suffice. So it is the Diuk out of there that is important. By the other two cases, why do we have that? And that we're going to learn now, which is, De Eshet Ish. Why is Sheikh Bat Zera mentioned by Eshet Ish? Vel Eshet Amitcha lo titen shchov techa lezara letamava. That is, Prat lememeshamesh meit. That is, to exclude a case where someone has Bia without an erection. That works well according to one who says Mishamesh made Barayot Patur. That if one does such a thing without Kishoy, that they are Patur, then the exclusion makes sense. Elamanda Amar Chayav, according to one who says that in such a situation you would be Chayav, Maikin Lameimar. Then what does that come to exclude? Ela Prat Lemashamesh Meita. Comes to teach you that if one has Bia with one of their Ayot after she has passed away, that you are not chayav in that case. The sachadat chamino, I would have thought, the term she'er, what is used in the Parshat Arayot to describe relationships which are problematic, that she'er is also used to describe one's wife after death. As Rashi points out, with regards to a Kohen, it says that he's not allowed to become tamei, ki im l'she'ero akarov elav. And the Gemara Dashans on that word, she'ero, she'ero zuishto, that's his wife. Clearly here we're talking about a wife after death, because it's talking about becoming tamei to take care of the burial of one's wife. So in that case, you see the word sheiro is used even after death. So that would imply that the Parshat Arayot, which begins ish ish el kol she'er b'saro lo tigruvu l'galot tervani Hashem, that she'er applies not only during the lifetime of the woman, but even after she has passed away. So emal lechayev ala b'eshet ish, even after death, kamash malon, that is not the case, that the woman is not considered to be married, not to be considered one of the arayot after death, because of this exclusion of Shechvat Zara that is mentioned by Eshet Ish. This Sota Lamali, why is Shechvat Zara mentioned by Sota? Le'vetanyo, for a brighter, Shechvat Zara prat le'davar acher. Shechvat Zara comes to teach you that is the problem by Sota, not something else. My davar acher, what's the other thing that you're excluding? Samra b'sheshet prat le'kishikina la shaloki darka. That he warned her, the idea of Sota is that he warns his wife not to be secluded with such an individual. So Rashi over here brings two interpretations of what it means that he warned her not to have bia shelo kedarka with this other individual. So Rashi either says choshtaimo bekach, that he suspects her of this, and he says al tisteri imo, says do not be secluded with him. So everybody knows because of the context of the conversation that that's what he means. He says do not be secluded be yichud with this individual. Why? Because he suspects her of having bliach shaloki darka with this individual. Or, Lishna Achrina, Rashi says that he says it explicitly. Shekina shaloki darka. He says, al tisterim oldi ba'el shaloki darka. Do not be isolated or secluded with this individual to have such a relationship. So that's what we're excluding. Amalei Rava, mishkevei isha k'tiv. Wait a minute, the term mishkevei isha is written by mishkav zachar, but it's written in plural. Mishkevei in the plural. Implying that there are two types of shchivot by an isha. There's a shchiva kedarka, and there's a shchiva shelo kedarka. And the fact that the Torah writes it in plural means that they have the same din. Whether it's bia kedarka, bia shelo kedarka, they're going to have the same din. And so therefore, that cannot be what is excluded by sota. But clearly, because that is restricted, that type of shchiva is just as problematic as shchiva kedarka. El amarovo prat l'shekina ila derechei varim. That he warns her not to be secluded with this individual where he's having a derech evarim. Rashi describes here, mi'uch dadim, Hidash mi b'chutz b'sharei varim. So either he is having some sort of physical, sensual touch with this woman that does not involve bi'ah, or he's having bi'ah with her where he never enters into the woman herself, but has bi'ah through the excitement that he has with the physical contact with this woman. So that's what Kinala Derechei Varim, that's what is excluded from Shechvat Zera mentioned by Sota. Amalei Abaye Pitzuta Asar Rachmana. Wait a minute, when the Torah restricted over here all the restrictions of Arayot and the restrictions by Sota, those are not restrictions of Pitzut, of simply behavior that is considered to be promiscuous. It's talking about specifically Biyah, of having a intimate relationship of intercourse with this woman. It's not talking about this type of pritzut. Ela amar Abaye pradash kinela b'nishika. That he warned her not to have bi'a b'nishika. Nishika is where simply there is just contact between the two sexual organs of the individual. There isn't any penetration. So that is not problematic like bi'a. Gemara says, anicha l'manda amar. That works well according to one who says, ha'ara'a zu achnasat atara. That hara, which the Torah restricts by all types of bi'ah, which we learned before, is restricted. It has to do with achnasat Torah, which is the insertion of the crown of the male sexual organ into the woman. That is what's restricted. Then nishika would not be restricted because that's less of a penetration, and that's what's being excluded. Alamadamar zu nishika, the one who says that ha'ara'a is just contact between the two sexual organs, ma'ika lemeimar, because that would be asura. El olam, we go back to what Rava says. Olam shukina la derech evarim. He warned her about having yichud with this individual and having some sort of physical relationship that does not involve bi'ah. Ve'itzrich sakadat chamino b'kpeda debal talarachmana. That it has to do with what the husband is makpidan, what he is concerned about with regards to his wife. If he says that he doesn't want his wife to be together for these issues, then that would work. And it's not governed by the Torah law. The whole idea of Sota is that he expects her of acting a certain way, and his suspicion leads him to warn her not to do something, or not to be mityached with this individual. So we would think it all has to do with what the husband is claiming about the wife. Doesn't matter whether that's considered to be bi'ah or not bi'ah, simply about his warning his wife not to be acting in such a promiscuous or unacceptable manner with this individual. And over here he's makpid on this type of behavior. Kamash Malone, it has nothing to do with the husband, it has to do with Shechvat Zara. Bi'ah is the problem over here. And the whole issue of Sota has to do with Bi'ah. Doesn't mean the other behavior is okay, but it's just not governed by the Parsha of Sota. So now we come to the Machloket about what exactly Hara'ah is over here. What is this Hara'ah that the Gemara keeps mentioning, which is not a full Bi'ah, but a smaller penetration of the woman by the man? So Amar Shmuel Ha'ara'a Zunishika. Shmuel says that it's simple contact between the two individuals with their sexual organs. That's enough to be Ha'ara'a, and that's what we've been discussing till now is Chayav. Mashal the Adam, Sheminiach Etzba'o Alpiv. Person who places his finger on his mouth. Yev Shershalo Yidchoka Basar. There's no way that it doesn't push in a little bit. It does not put pressure down on the skin. Same thing over here. Just contact between the two organs, by definition, indicate some sort of penetration, and that's what's problematic. Gemar bi'ah by shivcha rufa, which we already saw, because it says shechvat zara there, zuach nasat atara. That is the entering of the male organ up to the atara. Again, it's the area from which the male organ begins to slope down, the tip or the edge there. It's usually where the brit milah is, where we pull back the orla. That area, which is considered to be the atara, that is what's considered to be full bi'ah. Meiti Rav Sheshet, Shechvat Zara, Inu Chayav, Ela Bi'ah Tamiruk. We have Shechvat Zara that's mentioned by Shivcha Rufa. There's only considered to be bi'ah if it's a bi'ah of Miruk. Miruk means that he expels the semen. It's a full bi'ah, which makes it sound like, My La Miruk Agid. Doesn't that mean that you have full entrance of the male organ into the woman, which will produce the expulsion of the semen into the woman? Lo, miruk atara. No, that can be simulated or created even with a smaller penetration. Now, Tosafot over here says that biat miruk doesn't necessarily mean that he actually has to have shechvat zera exits. He says, nira demechaya b'shivcha rufa afilu below hatzad zera. You don't even have to have the zera come out. Or should say, biaharu yadil hazria. It has to be a biah that is good enough that it could impregnate the woman. Kamo ve'eshidish, similar to an eshidish, meaning that you need hotzad zera, but not hotzad zera in the real sense of hotzad zera, but just an action that would lead to hotzad zera that would impossibly impregnate the woman. And obviously, according to the one here who says that hara'ah is haknasat ha'tarah, and gemar biah means the full insertion of the male organ, then he obviously believes that haknasat ha'tarah, even if there was an expulsion of semen into the woman, that would not impregnate her in that case. And that's why it's not called biat miruk. But over here we're saying, according to the other day, obviously miruk ha'tarah suffices, and therefore you don't have any proof from that. So hara'ah is not nishika, but rather achnasat ha'tarah. Amru lei v'ha Rabba Bar Chana lo amar hochi. Rabba Bar Chana did not quote that from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's quote from Rabba Bar Chana was that by shifra harufa, where you need a gmar biyah, which is shechvat zera, that is considered achnasat ha'tarah. So over there he's saying Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabba Bar Chana, believes that gmar biyah means achnasat ha'tarah. And now Rav Dimi is bringing from Yochanan that hara'ah is haknasat ha'tarah. Well, he said back to them, oh, you shakrei or ana shakrei? Says, either I'm lying or he's lying. We're bringing memrod from Rabbi Yochanan, and one of us is wrong. So either I'm right, and that haknasat ha'tarah is called hara'ah, and therefore gemar biyah would be the full insertion of the male organ. Or like Rabbi Bar Chana is right, and gemar biyah is haknasat ha'tarah, implying that hara'ah would be nishika. Kiata Ravin. Now we have Ravin coming, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we have three people bringing Memrot in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rav Dimi, Ravin, and before we had Rabbi Bar Chana. Now at Ravin, Hara, Zuach Nasat HaTorah. So Ravin's Memra in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is in consonance and confirms what Rav Dimi said, that Hara, Zuach Nasat HaTorah. At Rabbi Bar Chana, Badai Plige. So they definitely argue in Rabbi Bar Chana, because Rabbi Bar Chana clearly says that Gemar Biya is Haknasat HaTorah and not Hara. At the Shmuel, Meleme Polik. How do you know that for sure they argue on Shmuel? Now Shmuel before said Hara'ah is Nishika. So how could they not be arguing on Shmuel on this member of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar says, look, they don't have to be arguing. I mean, Nishika v'ara haknasat ha'tarah hara'ah karila. They're not telling you that Hara'ah is haknasat ha'tarah, but rather they're telling you the range that is considered to be Hara'ah. So Shmuel is giving you the beginning range of what's called Hara'ah, that's Nishika. And Rabbi Yochanan, when Rav Dimi and Rabin are quoting him, they're telling you what the end of Hara'ah is, and that's Haknasat HaTorah. So that means from Nishika until Haknasat HaTorah, that's all called Hara'ah. So that way we can reconcile between those opinions and not say that they are arguing. Kiata Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a fourth quote of Rabbi Yochanan. Hara'ah zu Haknasat HaTorah. Gmar biyah mamash. So Hara'ah is the entering of the Atara, the crown. And Gemar Biyah means Gemar Biyah Mamash. Again, this is in accordance with the quotes that we had from Abdibi and Ravin, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that Hara'ah is Haknasat HaTorah, and Gemar Biyah means a full Biyah. Bikam Ve'elech, Enu El Nishika. From there and onward, meaning less penetration, is only called Nishika, Upatur Aleha, and he's Patur on it, and here, Upali Gad Shmuel. It's clear here, the way that Rabbi Yochanan's quoted here, that he definitely argues on Shmuel. Whereas from Rav Dimi and Ravin, it wasn't clear that he argued in Shmuel. He just said, Hara'ah, Zuach Nasat HaTorah. So according to that, you could say that he was just giving you the end of the range of what's problematic. Shmuel's giving you the beginning of the range of Nishika. But in this quote from Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, in the name of Rav Yochanan, it's clear that Rav Yochanan argues on Shmuel because he's giving you gradations. He's saying, Bima Mamash is the full entering of the organ. Haknasat HaTorah is considered to be Hara'ah. Less than that is called Nishika. So clearly he sees that not as the end of Hara'ah, but that is what's called Hara'ah. Anything less than that will be called the Nishika, and would not qualify as being Chayav in Arayot. And there we see that Rabbi Yochanan definitely argues on Shmuel in this case. Okay, we'll stop here, but the two dots on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph.